We've enjoyed so much in the month of July having the Vestals with us. It's been a difficult year or so for the Vestal family. Brother Don lost both his father and mother, having to have come home from the field to help care for them. And also some of the circumstances that they faced as they finished up in the last school. The Lord has been working in their hearts and lives, and we're so grateful that they're able to be with us. They've been serving now 15 years. In China. Boy, the time just goes by very quickly. And so it's been a privilege to have them with us. Michelle, of course, grew up in the ministry, and it's unbelievable how quickly Hannah and Jesse have grown up. Every time we see them, they're just different stages. And Brother Don, would you come and just share what the Lord's laid on your heart today, updating us on your work and also from God's Word?
Thank you, Pastor. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be here. Let me just first of all say thank you for your kind hospitality while we've been here, for your prayers and for your faithful support over the years. Grace Bible Church has been supporting and been with us from day one. I remember standing here when we first decided to leave the pastoral ministry we were in Florida and go to China 15 years ago. And I gave you all a chance to ask some questions. And questions I got was, how are you going to do that kind of work in China? And I said, I don't know. And they said, where are you going to live? I don't know. How are you going to do this? And how are you going to do that? And I don't know. In Sunday school, we were talking a little bit about rednecks and hillbillies. I don't know if I'm a redneck, but I'm a hillbilly from North Carolina. And I had never been west of the Mississippi till I got on an airplane to fly to China. And I didn't have answers to all of those things, but I knew that we served a really big God and that God had called us to do this and that he had promised in his word that if we obeyed him, that he was faithful to take care of those needs. And we, as we return and plan to return, face new uncertainties. You never know what's going to happen in China. We're there by their invitation, and that can be rescinded at any moment. We don't know exactly what school we'll be returning to. We praise the Lord that the work that was started 9 years ago in the last city we were in, we felt came to completion, and we were able to leave that in the hands of some nationals as well as a few international teachers to continue on. And so as we plan to return, we're going to return to a new city, to a new school, and see what the Lord has for us there. We have served in two different cities in China, and the work in each of those cities has been very different. In the first city we were in, we worked with university students, and we were able to see the Lord bless and bring a group of people together and form a independent body that is still there today, serving the Lord in that community, and we praise the Lord for that. In this last city in Sichuan that we've been in for the last 9 years, I'm going to use the PowerPoint to kind of outline some of the things that have happened, kind of a review over the last 9 years. Please understand as I do that, none of this is to Michelle and I's credit. It is solely to the credit of our Father who has opened the doors and has blessed and has given us the opportunity. For those of you who may be visiting, I'm going to embarrass my children and ask my wife and children to stand for just a moment. Don't worry, they'll tell me about it later, how much they're embarrassed. My wife, Michelle, and my daughters, Hannah and Jesse, I praise the Lord for them and their willingness to go to China and be a part of the team there. We are looking for new members to join our team. So as you leave today, please go by the display. There's some picture cards there. Take one, put it where you'll see it often, and pray for us. If you'd like to receive our updates as we send those out, there's a pad there you can sign. Please write legibly, very clearly, so I get your email address correct. And we just appreciate so much your faithfulness and your support as we seek to follow the Lord and His leading in the country of China. For those of you who are new and haven't heard us before, for Mr. Opager, I'm sorry you'll hear this again. He was here teaching Sunday school over 20 years ago when we first started coming, and so he's heard this several times, as many of you have, but some of you haven't. When we're in China, we don't use the term missionary. And as I talk today, I'll probably use a little bit different language, perhaps, than what you're used to hearing a missionary use when they speak. We are Christian English teachers. We don't have to hide the fact that we're Christians. We don't have to restrict our sharing of our faith and our life with those around us. But historically, the word missionary has been associated with people who used that title and didn't do mission work and really hurt the Chinese people in the past. And so people using that terminology are just not welcome. We are welcome. And in fact, they hate to see us leave. They never have to worry about our morals in the classroom and the lifestyle that we live. And they see that as a great blessing. And so we're thankful for that, that we can live our Christian life openly. I've shared in the past, in our classrooms in China, we generally have more freedom to share the truth of God's Word with our students than we would in a local public school here in America. And while on one hand that's a great blessing, on the other hand, it saddens me every time I say it to consider the fact that in our country that's not possible or is much more restricted. And so we are thankful for the doors that He has opened. Let's just go through very quickly the last 9 years that we have been living in China. We've been living in the city of Chengdu, or just outside the city of Chengdu, in the province of Sichuan. Sichuan is in the western part of China. It borders right up against Tibet. We can't go any further west without going into Tibet. We're right at the foothills of the Himalayan Mountains, a beautiful place to live, a place where the creation declares God's glory each and every day. And yet we work with a people who many of them have never heard the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we're thankful to be the messenger. The scripture says, how can they hear unless someone go and tell them? They are without excuse, but they still need to hear the message, and that's the privilege we've had. Since we've been there, we have worked with a variety of schools. Again, because we use education as our means of entering the country, as well as making those first introductions, we've worked in a secondary school. We've had the privilege to create a countryside teacher training college. We worked with the Dujiangyan Agricultural University, the Chuan Wai Foreign Language University, and while I was there, I was the city director for three different teams around the city, totaling 35 people. So the work started with my wife and I going with two teachers, and when we left a significant team behind. So we're thankful for the way the Lord has blessed over these last 9 years. We actually had the opportunity to partner with a local three-self church. When I refer to a three-self church, that is a registered church in China. This particular church is very sound. The pastor is biblical in his teaching and in his practices, very evangelistic-minded, which is not always the case. But we had the privilege of helping him establish a Sunday school in his church and a university outreach to university students. And so we praise the Lord for not only what He allowed us to be a part of, but how we were able to partner with the Chinese nationals in the work that they wanted to do as well. Over the last 9 years at the teacher training college, we had 2,000 Chinese teachers from 35 different cities and 5 provinces come and participate in our training programs. The training programs were designed to help them become better teachers. These are Chinese nationals who are teaching English in their high schools, middle schools, and primary schools. And so we wanted to help them become better English teachers, but while they were there, we also had the privilege of sharing with them our worldview and the foundational faith foundations upon which our worldview is built, and we had the opportunity to see some of them adopt that worldview as well. And so we're thankful for that, as they were then able to go back and take that truth and that knowledge of Christ back into their classrooms in those mountain villages that many of us will never have a chance to see. The Lord opened the door for us to be a part of the local Communist Party training school. And so I had over 300 Communist Party leaders. These are people like mayors, governors, city councilmen, if you put it in our context, who went through the Communist Party training school. And I had an opportunity to teach them some English, and also to teach them about what we believe and why we believe it. And so that truth was able to go out. We were asked by the local education department to do a training session for all of the education department personnel and all of the principals in this district. Now, in this district, that was a total of probably about 700 to 800 people. that we were able to spend about 8 to 9 weeks with on a regular basis every week. And again, combination of teaching English and teaching them the truth of the faith that we hold so dear. And so we never had any idea 15 years ago when we went to China just how far-reaching the seeds of truth would go. Now, in all of these contexts, we don't know what will happen. We didn't do much reaping in those contexts. But the Scripture doesn't tell us that we will always have the privilege of reaping. The Scripture tells us to go and to sow. And so as we sow, we have the opportunity to reap, and we pray that those that we don't reap, that down the road someone else will have an opportunity to do so. And so we praise the Lord for the way that His Word has gone out. We were asked to do training for two of the local hospitals, and so we trained over 500 medical personnel. Again, teaching them English and teaching them about where true compassion and healing comes from. We did English department teachers in several nearby universities. My wife had the privilege of doing a special training for a little over 100 business personnel who were members of the local Chamber of Commerce. They sponsored a special training program one summer. And so she spent every week training them throughout the summer. We were able, and this is the most, probably one of the more exciting parts, we were able to, through the teacher training college, establish a Christian Chinese teacher training program. The Chinese believers are growing in their maturity, and they are now having a burden to take the Word of God and the gospel to other parts of the world. They see it as their purpose, their vision, their mission to take the gospel through the Middle East and back to Jerusalem. And so we had the opportunity to put together a training program. And just before we left, we had our first group of Chinese believers come to that program, study to be Chinese teachers and how to share their faith in that context. And so they came, and this past summer, they went out to Jordan, Syria, Iraq, Iran, and several other countries through the Middle East for their first kind of exploratory trip. And we're praying that some of them will build upon that and will go and do this full time. The Middle East wants to learn Chinese. They want to do business with China. And so the Chinese are very welcome there. And so they have the opportunity to go and teach Chinese and to share the gospel with those Muslims in the Middle East, just as we took and went to China 15 years ago to teach English. So we're thankful to see how the Lord is growing that ministry and opportunity. This is a picture of the group of Chinese Christians who came to our school. This is on our school campus. We actually used the children in the kindergarten at the school as guinea pigs for their training. And so these are the kids that were able to come to that summer English time, Chinese and English time, as well as the teachers who participated. This is a little closer picture. We did a mixed group. There were about 16 Chinese and about 10 North Americans that went together hand in hand this past summer to work in the Middle East and to share the truth there. These are a few of the pictures of them while they were there in Jordan and in Syria and in their classroom. This was one of the teams there. And so be praying for them. Be praying that the Lord will continue to provide safety for them, direction, support as they seek to go out and share the gospel of Jesus Christ in regions where we are not welcome to be. Pastor Todd had asked me to share a little bit about Iceland. Iceland, we're not going to Iceland, by the way. Okay, let me just make that clear. The Lord has not called me to Iceland. Thank goodness. But this past summer, while we were here in the States, the church that I grew up in is a sending church for a missionary in Iceland. And they were preparing for summer camp, had a construction team scheduled to come, and at the last minute weren't able to come. And so the church said, who has a passport? And, you know, I didn't take my dad's advice from the military where he says, don't volunteer for anything. And I stuck my hand up that I had a passport, and they said, great, we want to talk to you after church. And that led to me going on about a 5-day trip to Iceland to hang drywall. Boy, was that fun. I didn't mind it. I enjoyed it. I'm glad I wasn't called into that work full time. In the course of 4 days, we hung over 250 sheets of drywall, three rooms, ceilings, walls, a hallway, but it was a great time. When we went to Iceland, this is the missionary couple that's there. He was actually stationed there in the Air Force, was saved in a military church there. And then when the base was closed and the drawdown happened, time came for him to get out of the Air Force, and then he stayed on, became the pastor of this church, and converted it from a military church to a church that reaches the local Icelandic people. And so they've been working there now for a number of years. This is a picture of the church building that we were working in. And we were there in the summertime. It was a balmy 48 degrees. And we had exactly, I think, 20 minutes of nighttime every night. So the rest of the time, it was full-on daytime. We went there, and the scenery looked much like this. The moonscape was actually where the first Apollo astronauts went to practice walking on the moon before they went to the moon. Very rocky. You see steam vents all over. It's basically one giant volcanic island. We also saw some scenery that looked like this. Beautiful waterfalls from the glacier melt, some geysers. But the scenery that I saw most often was this, as we worked and hung that drywall every day. The Lord blessed, and they were able to have their summer camp in those rooms. And so we praise the Lord for the way that He worked to prepare the field to reach those folks there in Iceland. So we thank you again for your prayers, your support, your love for us. As we will be leaving today right after lunch to head out, we'll be on the road for the next 2 months doing some deputation work, visiting churches, sharing the plan and the ministry that the Lord has given us in China, seeing who might want to be a part of the team as we prepare to go back. We hope to be back into this area in October. And we plan to be around in and out between there and January. So we'll be back long enough for you to be ready for us to leave again, I'm sure. But we're thankful to be able to have the time to be here with you and to be here with Mom and spend this time together. So at the close of the service, we're not going to do any questions or anything now, but at the close, we'll be out at the display. Please come by. I'll set the computer up out there as well and have a video running. So if you want to see some more live action type things from the work that we've been doing these last 9 years, you can come by and take a look at that. Feel free to ask any questions that you might like to ask. And don't forget the sign-up sheet, the picture cards. And if there's not enough food, there's Tootsie Rolls out there. So please come by and have some. If you will this morning, very briefly, as we have a few minutes left, if you'll open your Bibles with me to the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. We're going to begin reading in verse 4. But let me set the stage for you a little bit. Jeremiah is writing here to the children of Israel that have been taken away to Babylon. You remember the story of Daniel and how all of that worked. In three stages, Nebuchadnezzar came, he took away the princes and the kings, he took away the craftsmen and the artisans, and then he took away many of the common people. And there was just a very small remnant that was left behind. Jeremiah is still here in Israel. He's writing to all of those that have been taken away to Babylon. Now, as we look at this passage this morning, we've been studying in Sunday school about context. I want you to put yourself in the context of these children of Israel, okay? They are the people of God. They were established. The nation of Israel was established for the purpose of being God's visible presence in this world. That was their job, was to represent God to the heathen nations around them. And for a variety of reasons that we're not going to take time to get into, the Lord allowed them, and in fact we're going to see in this passage, actually caused them to be taken and ripped out of the culture that they were familiar with, away from the environment that they were familiar with, from the architecture, from the food, from the language, from the music, from the family, from everything that was common to them, and carried away and dropped in the middle of a culture that they had no idea what was going on. Now that sounds a little bit familiar to my wife and I, as we leave this place and go to China. Things are very different in China. The language is different. The food is different. Everything is different. When new teachers come over, there's always a period of time where they're a little bit disoriented. They're some confused. They don't feel like they fit in. And in fact, even after all of this time being in China, there are some days I wake up disoriented, confused, and feeling like I don't fit in. And in a secular term, we call this culture stress or culture shock. If this isn't dealt with properly and we don't respond to it properly, then it develops to a point to where people actually begin to separate themselves from the very culture that they're in. They isolate themselves and they become depressed. They kind of close themselves off from the world around them. You say, Brother Don, why are you talking about this? We're not going to China. Well, I wished you would, first of all. There are lots of opportunities for you there. You don't have to go for full time. We'd love to have you come and be with us. But the reason that I'm using this context is because if you think about it, as God's children, believers in Jesus Christ, followers of Jesus Christ, citizens of His kingdom, the world that we live in should be a foreign culture to us. Shouldn't it? As we leave this place, these four walls, and we walk out, we should feel a little bit of culture shock. Because God has called us to live in kingdom culture. Even though we are not yet in His kingdom, He told us when He came to this earth, we are to reflect Him and His kingdom on this earth. And we, when we walk out into this community that we live in the secular world where we work and we live, we should feel a little bit uncomfortable, a little bit disoriented, a little bit like we don't fit in. And if we don't, the first thing I would say to us this morning is we need to examine ourselves. Either, first of all, to see which country we're a citizen of. Are we a citizen of this world or are we a citizen of heaven? Have we accepted Christ as our personal Savior, first of all? And if we have and we still feel comfortable in this culture, then perhaps we're embracing the world's culture more than we should be. Because as we go out into the world, it's a different place than it used to be. My wife and I and my family, we probably had more culture shock coming back this past year than we had going to China. Because America's not the same place it was 10 years ago. Things that used to be hidden away, shunned, and shamed are now openly welcomed and embraced in this culture. You know what I'm talking about? Things that we would have never considered being true, we see on a daily basis. And it should make us feel a little uncomfortable. And if we're not careful, that feeling of discomfort or disconnection can cause us to respond in a negative way and pull away and isolate ourselves, criticize the culture around us, and not want to have anything to do with it. Now, the Scripture teaches us to be separate from the world, but it never tells us to isolate ourselves from the world. And so, I want us to use this context where the children of Israel were taken away from their culture and placed in a very ungodly, a very secular culture, and see how God instructed them to handle that culture. What is a biblical response to the culture we live in? So here in Jeremiah chapter 29, beginning in verse 4, the Scripture says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives." Now, just in case there was any doubt about who was in control of this, look at the next phrase. "Whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon." We should find comfort in that, folks. No matter what the circumstances, no matter how dire the situation, God is in control. God will use those circumstances to bring honor and glory to Himself. The truth is that in our Western mindset, we tend to do everything we can in our lives to avoid difficulties, to avoid discomfort. And yet it's in those circumstances that God generally shows Himself to us most clearly. It's also many times in those circumstances that the world sees God in us most clearly. And so I would encourage us, as we face those difficulties, as we face those challenges, whatever your Babylon might be today, rather than seeking to avoid them or to escape them as quickly as possible, I would encourage us to take the principles from this passage and say, how can I thrive in the midst of these that God might be glorified? Because He is in control of all of those circumstances. What does He tell them? The first thing is He gives them a charge, something to remember to do while they are in this culture. Beginning in verse 5, build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city, whether I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. Let's pause here for a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for this day, for the blessings You've given us. We thank You for the privilege that we have to join together here in this place to worship You, to learn about You, to serve You. I pray, Lord, that as we have gathered here, that we might seek the influence of Your Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our minds. We pray for understanding. We pray, Lord, that You would comfort those who need to be comforted, encourage those who need to be encouraged, convict us where we need to be convicted. I pray, Lord, that if there be anything in me that would hinder You from working, cleanse my heart, fill me with the power of Thy Spirit, give me the words that need to be spoken for this hour, help me to be silent where I should be silent, that everything that's said and done here would bring honor and glory to You, for it's in Your precious name we pray. Amen. All right, I'm going to go quickly because I think I can smell the rolls cooking in the back, and we want to make sure we're not late, okay? So you hang on tight, and we're going to go through this very quickly. First, God gives the children of Israel a charge to remember. The first thing is found in verse 5. He says, build ye houses and dwell in them and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Again, think, you're in a foreign country, you've just been dropped off, what do you do? Well, the first thing you've got to do is figure out a place to live and a place to eat, right? You've got to figure out how to survive in that culture. And you're not going to be able to do it on your own. You're going to have to interact with that culture. You're going to have to make connections with people and with the things in that culture. When we first went to the city of Sichuan, we had already been in China for a number of years, but Sichuan speaks a totally different dialect from the other parts of China. And I remember for the first week, my wife was in tears. They don't understand me. I can't talk to anybody. I don't understand. It was a totally different language. It was hard to make those connections. It was hard to interact. But in order to find food, in order to find a place to live, in order to survive and have the things we needed, we had to be willing to go out there, face those challenges, face those fears, and interact with the people. I remember the little lady in the market that had her pork hanging on the hook. And I would go over and I found the one, hopefully, that had the least number of flies on it. And I said, I want that one. And she'd go, huh? And I'd point again, huh? Finally, she would learn my point, and she knew what I wanted. She would cut me off a piece of pork, and I would say, thank you, thank you. I would go home. I didn't die, so you know what I did? I went back to that same lady again the next time I wanted pork, because I knew that was good pork. We made connections. She began, over time, to look for us, and anytime I was in the market, whether I wanted pork or not, she called and waved and said, come over, come over, because there were connections made there. Folks, as believers, as we go out into this world, we can't be afraid to interact with our culture. I know we don't agree with it. I know we don't agree with everything that everybody does. But we can't let that keep us from making connections with people. Because if we don't have a point of contact, we never have a point to share. And so the very first step is to just be willing to interact with the culture. Make connections. Don't be afraid as you're going out to be able to speak. Not for any particular purpose, just to interact, to make friends, and make connections. Second charge that he gave them in verse 6. You see here a progression from surviving in verse 5 to thriving in verse 6. He says, take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that ye may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be, what's that next word? increased there and not diminished. God doesn't allow us to be in circumstances because He wants us to be diminished. He not only wants us to interact with the culture, but He wants us to increase within that culture. He wants us to grow from survival mode to thriving mode. He wants us to be able, through His strength, to move beyond just making those initial contacts with people, to actually, through our lives, begin to make an impression on people. As the children of Israel began to grow within the nation of Babylon, don't you know that the Babylonian people began to notice? Don't you know that they began to say, wow, look at these people. They just keep growing. They're doing life. The Egyptians became so nervous about that when the children of Israel were in Egypt that they actually did what? They made them slaves. They became afraid of them. Now, we don't want the world to be afraid of us, but we want to be able, as we grow and increase in our influence and in our opportunities and in those relationships, that the world looks at us and says, wow, there is something different about those people. What is different about those people? Why do they seem to increase no matter what their circumstances? If I were facing what they faced, oh my goodness, I would fall apart. But they seem to have joy. They seem to have faith. They seem to have peace. Why is that? Isn't that what we're called to do? To be that example, to make those impressions upon the culture around us? He wants us to increase. He wants us to not just survive, but to thrive. Look at the next verse. Not only are we to interact with the culture, increase within the culture, but He wants us to also have an influence on the culture. Look at verse 7. And seek the peace of the city, whether I have caused you to be carried away captives. Just in case we forgot, or just in case we didn't get it the first time, God's reminding us again, He's still in control. I caused you to be taken away captives. But I want you to seek the peace of this city. I want you to have an influence on this city. As you live a peaceable life, as you interact with this culture, as you become involved in this culture, I want you to seek peace. Now, in a practical sense, in order to bring peace to a culture, first of all, you have to have peace. You can't bring them something you don't have. So as believers, we need to find our peace in the Prince of Peace, the One who lives within us. But then we also need to seek out opportunities to share that peace and to bring peace to those around us. Not just in the way that we live, but we might actually have opportunities in, for example, our practical context of becoming involved in local government. Again, seeking peace for this community, doing practical things that bring peace into this world. Not only are we to do those practical things, but in a spiritual way, we're also to seek peace. Look at the next thing. And pray unto the Lord for it. Pray for that culture. Pray for it. Folks, if we spent as much time praying for that lost coworker, that lost neighbor, those people within this culture that sometimes push us to the edge and grate on us, if we spent as much time praying for them as we did judging, criticizing, or being upset with them, I wonder how our interactions with them would change. It is difficult to stay angry with someone you're praying for. It is difficult not to want to share the truth of Christ with those that we're praying for. I find it true in my own life in China. Many times people put people that do what I do on a pedestal. Folks, we're human just like everybody else. There are days when you wake up and we call them bad China days. Not that China's bad, but I don't want to be there. It's a bad day in China. And when the taxi driver sets you off 3 miles away from where you're supposed to be in the rain because he didn't want to go any further because the traffic's tied up, that's a bad China day. And it is easy to fume and fuss and slam the car door when you get out. That has nothing to do with peace. But when we're praying for that taxi driver as we're driving down the road, as we're praying for those teachers, those workers, those people, that community, it changes how we interact with them. See, not only are we to interact with the culture, increase in the culture, and have influence in the culture, by influencing the culture, we are going to have an impact for the glory of God. We interact by making connections. We increase by having a good impression. And we influence by making an impact. An impact is not just the fact that they know you're there. An impact is making a difference that stays when you're gone. How often do we, in our cultural circles, make a difference in such a way that when we leave, that difference remains? That's the charge He gave the children of Israel in the country of Babylon. If we had time, we would look at the other verses in this chapter. He not only gave them a charge to remember, but He also comforted them with several things. He gave them a promise of peace in the midst of that difficulty. He promised them that someday this difficulty would end and they would return back to the place where they truly belonged. He's promised to come and take us home to be with Him one day too, right? And He promised a person that would love them and they could love, and that was Himself. We have all of those same comforts today. They are there to strengthen us and help us as we seek to follow the charge that He's given us. I don't know where you are. I don't know what your circumstances or how you feel or how you've been interacting with the culture here in Milton and in Florida around Pensacola. I don't know what I'm going to face. I know after bringing a message like this, somebody's going to tick me off probably on the way home today. And the Lord's going to say, remember. You know, He has an interesting way of doing that. But the Lord knows. And remember, He is in control. He caused them to be carried away captive, as He causes us to be right where we are at the time we're there. Will you follow the charge that He gave the children of Israel as you seek to have a biblical response to the culture around you? This is not our culture. This is not where we should feel most comfortable. We are here to change it and to influence for His honor and for His glory. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this day, for the blessings You've given us, for the time to look at Your Word. I pray that as we leave here, we would not just take the words in our head, but that we would practically apply the words from this passage to our feet and our hands, that we would be doers of Your Word as we seek to interact, increase, and influence the culture around us. For Your honor and glory, for it's in Your name we pray. Amen.